Hello and welcome to another episode of Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age.
We improve with wine.
Today we have two fabulous guests with us. My name, well, I should start off with me, I guess.
Start off with you.
My name's Dawn.
And I'm Lana.
And I'm Brian Watson-Jones.
Alyssa Shalito.
Can you be more excited about that, Alyssa?
Alyssa Shalito!
Yay, Alyssa! No, we brought on two fabulous guests with us, specifically because the four of us did a production of Klingon Christmas Carol back in 2010.
Oh my god.
For you, it was your fourth year. For me, it was the second year.
And it was your first year, right, Alyssa?
Yes.
And it was my first year as well. So that's why we're all here. So we're going to try to break out as much Klingon as possible.
Good job.
So, nook neck!
Sure.
I don't think they say sure, but anyway, not. It could be a slang for other Klingon people.
Yeah.
Should we open a bottle?
Oh, let's.
Okay, we have two bottles today. We have Tisdale Merlot from California, and Lana brought...
Oh, and I shudder to actually say this. Reuniti. Sweet red.
Reuniti, really?
Mm-hmm. Reuniti, yes. Sweet red.
You will know why later. We're not telling you why we chose these particular wines.
No.
I'm just surprised at the pronunciation of reunite.
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 But it's really...
It's from Italy.
Should we Google it?
You know what?
I can't. It made me turn off my phone.
Oh, no! If you listen to the commercials, they call it Reuniti.
Reuniti.
Yes. So it's a little sad.
Ladies' choice. Which one do you want?
With the sweet.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I realized on the way here, I'm going to be the only Y chromosome in the room for a while.
Aww.
Like usual. Yeah.
And yes, and you hate that.
High five.
Okay, so right. Lana, would you like to do the honors? You're opening the Reuniti Sweet Red. Is that what it is?
That is what it is.
Very, very good.
Okay.
Well, it's nice it's got, like, a removable top on it.
Well, so it's not a screw cap. I really actually like screw caps because I'm lazy, and B, we had a bad experience with a cork just this weekend.
Yeah, we did. We were opening a bottle of Merlot, and it was a rotted cork. And I've only had, this is now my second experience ever in my life, but,
Oh, wait a second.
This is a very important part of the podcast.
So this is really what we consider our current theme song.
And they've got lots of great guests.
That's a good theme song, too. Now, here's the second part of our theme song. Would you like me to do the
Yes, list? Please, as I remember
okay,
as I
second
this.
Part of our theme song.
And I'll be really quiet, because this is weird.
Oh, I love that sound. It is a beautiful sound.
It brings me to my happy place.
Yeah.
And is the third part just the sound of drinking and guzzling and crying and punching and such?
Well, crying, Lana will start crying here shortly, so don't worry about it.
Well, being Italian and an actor
and
red
sitting
wine.
Sitting next to me. And...
Well, yes, you, off, being my former husband.
How many times have you guys been married on stage?
I don't know, how many shows did we do?
One of my
favorite sounds is coming up, and this is it. This is,
okay, so
but it, well,
we're going to go in
we're
the
gonna go
order.
In the order here.
So first we have to see our wine. So we're basically looking at it for color and all that good stuff.
Cloudiness.
And streaks as it goes back.
Well, oh, you'd want to make sure that it's not.
I thought you were commenting on Lana's dishes.
Yeah.
Your dishes are very
cloudy,
Lana.
I try. I do my best. What can I say?
So we're just seeing it. It's a dark, dark, dark red.
You know, it's a lot darker in the wine glass
than it is in the bottle,
which surprises me.
It surprises me too.
Well, I think it's how wide the wine is. It's wider in the glass than the bottle. Because if you look at the bottom, it's a very, very beautiful red.
I think you're full of it.
Yeah, but I sound authoritative.
You really do.
Like
though.
Every wine expert that can't tell a $100 bottle from a $5 bottle.
I believe that.
There you go.
So shall we swirl this puppy?
We're swirling.
Sit it at the bottom on the table, and then take it by the stem and just swirl it.
You
for
do
about
get
20 seconds.
You do get a much more even swirl that way.
Did you smell it before?
Yes, we did. We know what we're doing, Alyssa. Really?
I'm just saying, like, because you want to be able to.
Strangely,
taste the
though,
difference.
Sometimes you get some legs on this and sometimes you don't.
Yeah, I'm not getting any legs.
Yeah.
I did
so,
the first time I did it.
I see particulates, but no legs.
I got a couple of legs, but nothing spectacular.
So, should we shove our noses in, take a good smell? I think you're supposed to. There's a Brunello is adding to his wine.
It's important to be able to sniff in more than one way, depending on what comedy calls for.
That's why you made a really good Klingon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. It's got that nice yeasty smell that I love in wine.
You're such a yeast lover.
You said yeast.
You did.
I enjoy yeast because it's either the best or the worst thing, depending on what we're talking about.
Ooh, so I'm going to run away from that, or yeah. I'll get in trouble really
I'm
fast.
Just saying. I'm
After
just
another
saying.
Glass or two.
Okay. Yeast is never neutral.
So what do you think on your smells, Alyssa?
I'm glad that it's not oaky, because sometimes when it's too oaky, I'm not going to like the flavor of it. Because if you don't like the smell of it, you're not going to like the flavor of it, typically.
Huh, interesting. Well,
although, depending on what you're eating, like I was out to dinner at the Beirut on Saturday with my parents. I didn't really like the smell of it, but it paired very, very well with the type of food.
Isn't that the most beautiful thing about wine in the world?
But I wouldn't want to sit and drink it casually.
Mm-hmm,
yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have the, is it the cocktail party wine where you just walk around with a glass of wine and no food? Or is it something that's really good with, you know, a hamburger or a steak or something like that?
I had a friend who swore that he gauged red wines by how well they paired with white cheddar Cheez-Its.
Ew. Well, why not?
Right?
Well, why not?
You know, to each its own.
I'm thinking I'm smelling some bright raspberry here.
Sure.
It is pretty, though.
It is fruity.
It's very fruity.
There's definitely a tartness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, should we actually try it?
Oh,
let's do our
fine.
Toast.
Yeah. Okay.
Will you have a toast for us, Lana?
Well, I'll go with the first one. The first one has to be...
Klingon.
Klingon Mach!
Klingon Mach!
All right. So go ahead and give it a taste.
For any of those who aren't Klingons, we are Klingons, is how it translates.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
That is very sweet.
It is.
But it's also not that tart finish or that bites at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sweet red is a great name.
For something that's so kind of forward on your tongue,
mm-hmm.
but without being terribly acidic, for being so forward and kind of bright and lively, you think, oh my gosh, this is gonna be a clucker on the back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Nice and soft.
I'm getting that raspberry you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like real raspberry. It's like the imitation raspberry flavoring they would use in candy.
Which
like
it's
identifiable as raspberry, but it doesn't taste like the berry.
Or like raspberry sauce for a dessert.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's
raspberry
a sweetened
cheesecake.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, this is quite lovely.
Now I want to pair it with a cheesecake.
Well, we have...
This doesn't suck.
No, it doesn't suck. We do have regular white bread. We also have gluten-free bread
mm-hmm.
and almonds, in case you do want to do some pairing with food.
So, yeah, that's one of the things that I like, because you can really change what a wine tastes like when you put some food with it, especially something rather neutral.
Yeah, just like Alyssa was saying.
I can see that. I'm generally not a wine guy. And honestly, when I am,
I've heard you wine. Come on.
Shut up.
Especially when
stop bringing the truth into this argument.
Especially when we had to fight with Batlets. And Lord, it was the first time I had to do stage combat with something that could actually really hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Even though it was made out of wood, it didn't matter.
Those are sharp.
Nasty.
Splinters are nasty.
And I remember the one night... when, because they bounce off each other because they're not metal,
mm-hmm.
because they're
mm-hmm.
not heavy enough. And I remember the night that I almost, not on purpose, unmanned you.
it's okay, because I seem to recall a night where I clocked you in the head.
In the nose, and that was a performance night. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was exciting.
And so you two were fighting with Batleths.
With Batleths.
Mm-hmm. And
you
even
got
though
the
they're...
big ones. I got the baby one. Because
you were
playing a child.
You were
playing a child. I mean, I didn't get a Batleth at all because I was just playing a Vulcan. Jeez, sad me.
Yeah,
but
gosh.
It was fun to watch you guys. I mean, not only because the Klingon Christmas Carol takes the Dickens story of Christmas Carol, but like translates it into Klingon. And so all these actors, the people that I'm sitting with, had to actually memorize their lines in Klingon. I got to do mine all in English because I was a Vulcan.
You know what?
Words.
There's a word
words.
For the kind of actor that is, and it's called Hip-Doc.
Hip-Doc. Oh, that's right. With the red
a
shirt.
A red shirt.
That's it.
A weakling.
Oh, a weakling.
God, huge laugh every night.
Oh, yep. Hip-Doc.
Well,
I remember that.
Even the non-nerds got
well,
that
the great
one.
Thing is, even though our lines are in Klingon, so that so that the audience knew what was going on, there were super titles in English, because we didn't expect all of the audience to be nerds. Some of them just came for, you know, something to do.
Right.
Yeah, but it was still, it was a phenomenal experience. I mean, and I don't know about you, Alyssa, but stepping in after, like, a crew, like, of people who had been there for 4 years or 3 years or how many years, it was just, it was a marvel to see.
I didn't have to audition, and it wasn't something, if I had to audition, it's not something I would have gone out of my way to do. So I am grateful for the experience, because I'm so glad that I didn't have all the lines that y'all did, because I could barely sing that song. What was the...
Koi ke lesh puglod,
koi not, right at the very end. No, stop.
Yeah, it was a great song.
Josh Galech D. God, I forgot.
Yeah, the first 2 years that I did it, the two of us singing as boys. Yeah, that was fun. I played two different roles the different years. So the first year I played who would have been your mother, and so I remember 1 year it was Kayla playing your role that year, and I said, "Are you ready for something a little different and crazy tonight?" And she's like, "Sure." So halfway through Koi Ke Lesh Puglod, when there's lots of syllables, mm-hmm. I doubled the pace.
Oh my god!
I asked her first, because that's just not cool to, you know, to spring stuff. You want to just go with something crazy tonight? Okay. The look on her face was, oh, but you know that song was just crazy anyway. It's mm-hmm.
See, I followed Laurel, who mm-hmm. played my mother, and I was like, I'm the child. I'm just going to. She's teaching me the song. That's
really what it's doing. I can rationalize my way out of this one.
Yeah. For the life of me, at that very end of it, I was like, "Blizzard, put your place down.
Don't smile.
It gets much harder. That second half of that song is nothing but consonants. It's like, after that, singing in German felt so melodious. And so, so yes. Yeah. Well, but they kept saying, "No, make it sound uglier," and it's like, really?
Is that even possible anymore? Yeah, that was awesome, because, I mean, I missed the vast majority of the rehearsals, because my job wasn't as hard as your guys' is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was so much fun to actually come into a rehearsal and be like, oh my god, they actually memorized all this! How is that even possible?
Well, it took me 4 years.
But it's incredible!
You know, there's a teleprompter, in case you lose your... But I was told, mm-hmm. my first year, as the director stared at me, those with really big eyes really need to not ever look at the teleprompter, because there's just no... I'm
you
like,
can't fake it.
Okay.
Like mine?
Yeah, like exactly yours. Like yours.
Well, I got to wear the same forehead every single... Yeah, now I have to start over.
Yeah,
I got to wear the same forehead piece all 4 years, so I eventually figured out a way to place it so that my eyes could be in shadow if I angled it right.
Oh,
so I would tip my head down a little, go into shadow, check the teleprompter, and then move back up.
And when you're saying headpiece, it's all the crinkly forehead clean.
Yeah, the
stuff.
Crinkly forehead. I also had a nose piece, which made it a lot more stable.
Oh,
and I was
cool.
Also using my own hair, which made
it
less stable, but more
fun. Oh, I was so grateful I didn't have to wear a wig.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Like your Barbie wig?
My first year, I wore the Klingon-y wig, which was like, you know, the frizz for days and the bangs out like this, and I looked like the Bride of Frankenstein without the stripes.
Yeah.
And the second year, it's like, you know, this one's just not cutting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, and so she's like, "Well, here's a wig," and it literally blonde, curly Barbie. And I went, "Are you sure?"
Yeah, your Barbie wig was hysterical.
And they went, "Fine, go for it. We don't care." Okay, I'll play this to the hilt.
Yeah, that was hysterical.
It was. Well, if you'd seen my nose piece the year before, I was the ugliest damn Klingon woman. Ever.
Which meant you were the hottest Klingon woman ever.
Well, and the nose pieces stretched out as because you were, you know, taking them on and off.
And they were plastic, right?
Well, no.
No,
latex.
They
So they stretched out, so halfway through the run of the show, I had to take a scissors and cut it in half, because it was actually extending beyond the end of my nose at that point.
Oh my god.
Sweet.
Which really actually improved the nose piece a lot.
Oh, they're so cool. So, Mr. Brian Watson-Jones, you know, what's new with you? What's going on, Mr. Got Drawn Into Fringe?
Yeah, I got drawn into Fringe. Well then.
Yay, congratulations.
Wait a second. The wine glass.
Ting, 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 ting. I'm not currently wearing a ring.
Just use your head.
Your glasses.
Bong, bong, bong.
Yay. They're frameless glasses. There's only so much I can do. Yes, so the Fringe Lotto was, as we record this, just over a week ago. I have been, for the past, now it's going to be 3 years, the past 2 years, I have done a piece called Fringe Orphans, which is a series of short plays, ideally plays that are good ideas, but only good for 5 minutes or so, mm-hmm. at which point the joke is used up and you don't want to extend it into a full 60-minute show. So,
thank God people recognize that. Yes. A small amount of people and recognize that.
Too many playwrights don't.
Yeah. No, I kept hearing, during Fringe, it's amazing. It's theater fantasy camp. You just, mm-hmm. you go to shows all day and then you go somewhere at night and have a burger and get really drunk and just talk about theater.
Because the Minnesota Fringe Festival has 166 shows, isn't it? Over a course of 10 days?
167
companies doing 5 shows each.
Yeah.
So it's
possible to see 57 shows.
Wow.
And that's nonstop going
right.
Monday through Sunday.
Yeah, that's if you do everything from opening to encore.
And it's one of the largest Fringe festivals in the United States.
Yeah, the oldest unjuried one or the largest unjuried one? The somethingest somethinged one.
Yay.
Yeah.
Go Minnesota.
We're in one qualifier and we're the biggest of some number. Mm-hmm.
It's got the most Brian Watson Joneses in it.
Sweet.
So far. The guy Google tells me got a pilot license in Texas, isn't doing theater yet, so I think I'm the only one.
Ooh.
And the old,
well, he's got a pilot
the
license.
The old Scottish guy might be dead by now, so we're low on Brian Watson Joneses.
Okay. We have them all.
That's sad. Oh, it's time to go there for a second.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah. Every year I hear people half drunk talking about good ideas for good Fringe shows. Some of which become actual Fringe shows in later years, some of which completely die because they're actually terrible ideas that only sound good when you're drunk, and some of which were really good ideas and could not sustain a full show. So I wanted to give a place where that could exist. Last 2 years, it's gone really well.
Really well.
And
always entertaining.
It got drawn again. My bingo ball got picked out of the bingo cage, so I will be doing it again. Yeah.
Yes. And just so
Google that, huh?
So people who aren't familiar with the Minnesota Fringe Festival, yes, it's all a bunch of bingo balls, and all the entrants are assigned a number. And
yeah,
so when he says his ball got drawn, it got drawn.
Yeah.
Hard.
It's also not even funny anymore because the people drawing the balls were making all the balls jokes at the lotto. So all the balls jokes got used up, guys.
Jerks.
All of them. Yeah.
I'm sure we could.
Last
think of
year
something.
I had 2 balls in the cage. That was fun. So,
the year you have 3, I want to be there and see it.
No.
I'll die.
Thanks for the visual.
You're welcome for the visual.
I am dying.
So that got drawn again. Will be happening again. I've already been talking to some of my regulars about potential ideas. I haven't sent out the big, like, hey, who wants to actually commit to this email yet? But there's a few potentials in the lineup already.
I think Lana just volunteered, at least to be a talent, though.
Yeah,
right? You
whatever.
Write. You should write. We could do one of our podcasts as part of your 5 minutes. We actually right. could.
You know what? I have been actually
well,
doing...
Well, I want to do good shows. So.
Oh, fuck. Sorry. Oh, we can edit that out.
Sure we can.
Well, yeah.
Which means I never edit anything.
You know, I was thinking... at one point that we should write a short one act of essentially the ladies who lunch with the two of us.
Okay. Sounds good. As long as I don't have to memorize anything. Yeah. So your last Fringe Orphans had, I remember it had The Sound of Food.
Yeah, The Sound of Food was the breakout hit last year.
Yeah, it was. And it was basically two people with a microphone, a bucket, and food.
Yes, it was a clown piece disguised as like an experimental European theatrical piece where you throw hot dogs onto a tarp and listen to what it sounds like.
Sweet. Aww. Okay,
yeah,
what
right?
were you drinking
were
when you thought of that?
I didn't think of that. No, all of the pieces, none of the pieces have ever been created by me. I have occasionally appeared in roles in them, just basically as backup. But I have intentionally never written or directed any of the pieces because I don't want to show unconscious favoritism.
Right.
That piece was created by Amber Bjork.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, and put together by Amber and Theo Langston. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That reminds me, I brought something for y'all, but I'll get that later.
Yay!
Prezzies.
I like prezzies.
Sort of.
Not
so yeah, it was a huge breakout hit. She pitched it to me. I got her response to my initial email last year about 7 minutes after I sent it, she just thought of the first thing she could and sent it right back, and it turned out to be the gigantic hit that people were quoting at Fringe Central.
Yeah,
so
that was lovely.
Yeah, who knew? But we had great variety last year. We also had dance pieces, mime pieces, a couple of dramatic pieces, which is always weird in a show to have three or four comedy pieces and then something dramatic to see if the audience can shift that quickly.
Yeah.
Or the whole time they're going, when's it getting funny?
Right,
yeah. When's it getting funny?
We had a guy in a stormtrooper outfit.
That was great.
We had
Doug Washington.
We had a woman in a leather bikini with a whip doing Shakespeare. And we had an audience member murdered on stage. Well, not anymore, and they should.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, the audience member getting murdered on stage. That was great. So
and
it's
a political piece and yada yada. Just a variety of things.
And I remember the improv comedy show that was a complete
failure. That was 2 years ago. That was the first year.
That was funny, though.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Ben Sandels. He did
Phil
his
Ben
first.
Bennett-Low.
Yeah, he wanted.
It
he
was
does
hysterical.
A lot of stand up. He wanted to branch out into his improv skills. And he and Philip went out and presented an improv piece that consisted of Philip taking some suggestions from the audience, starting a scene, and then Ben having a complete mental breakdown because he can't think of anywhere to go.
Sweet. And it lasted for minutes.
Yeah.
Minutes.
That year
it was so funny.
Last year was tricky because I had about 75 minutes worth of material, so I had to alternate. Not everything was performed every night because there was no room. The year before, though, I had about 40 minutes worth of material. So after I figured that out, I went to Ben and I said, hey, milk that as long as you think it's still funny, because it's fine. We've got like 10 minutes to play with. Just do what you got to do, man.
That was great. So then you're going to start sending out emails, getting people to submit their pieces.
Yeah,
and
just seeing what we can cobble together for this year.
Oh, I'm excited for you, Briwa Joe.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
I think that's, I love the concept of it, and I love that you're bringing so many people in and onto stage, and I mean, and just, I don't know,
it's
giving
a
lots of people
every
a
year.
Chance to
it's
do
a
something.
Every year I'm terrified of failure, and I'm really excited by what could happen. And then this year, we'll see if we can top Sound of Food.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm excited. I would be really excited about that. So I think at this point in the game, we're going to rate this wine, which unfortunately, Lana, you're out. So you need just a little bit more.
Just a little bit more.
Is that enough?
Yeah, that's enough.
Enough.
You know,
a little bit more. Just a little bit.
Let's talk a little bit about what our ratings are.
Yes.
That's 1 to 5, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the highest.
Yes.
Number one is, I wouldn't drink it if they were handing it out for free, even at Fest.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yep.
Suicide in a bottle.
Yep. Number two is, we would equate this to vinegar salad dressing.
Yeah. Number three is wedding appropriate wine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good enough. And number four is a bottle I wouldn't feel guilty drinking by myself.
And that's a pretty wide swath.
At least for Lana and I. Yes, it is. Yes,
definitely.
It is.
And five is,
I would tap that vintner's cask. So, now you can do integers between the 1 through 5. Bri, why don't you have something to say about our rating scale?
No, I just have something to feel.
You can use decimal places, that's fine.
Yep, that's totally groovy. So,
how many significant digits?
As many as you need. So,
honestly,
Alyssa, 1 through 5.
I'd probably rate it between a 2 and a 3. I don't think I would go out of my way to buy it, but if it was around and it was the only thing, I probably would drink it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 to 3, so like a 2.5?
Yeah.
Mr. Jones. Mr. Watson Jones.
I'd give it around a 3, just because, as I said, I'm not normally a wine guy, and when I am, I'm a white wine guy. So reds aren't my favorite, no matter which way you swing it, but it's good. Like, it tastes fine. I'm not getting a lot of, is it tannins that are in red wine that aren't white? Yeah, though, that's why I don't normally drink red, because tannins give me
a
headache. Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll
find
out.
But this does, I'm not getting a lot of that from this, so it's nice.
Yeah.
For a red, this is near the top of my list.
Sweet ones typically don't as strongly as
like the tannins.
I wouldn't drink this at Fest, though, or anywhere else where it was really hot and sunny.
Because
I would drink this at Fest. I just realized what this reminds me of. Sangria.
It does.
Yeah.
It's true.
The Arbor Mist Renfest Sangria.
Needs some
It does. Well, without the fruit, it tastes like the fruit and
it's more fruity than a normal red.
This would be actually, you know, and I didn't like reds chilled.
No.
You know, I like it room temperature. What? This wouldn't suck chilled.
Well, actually, the label says it's supposed to be chilled.
Yeah, a lot of the reds do, and I disagree.
I ignore that,
well,
too.
Well, the label also says reunite, but apparently that's wrong.
But so, we are kind of
reuniting. Oh, we are reuniting.
Not according to the commercial.
Feels
so good. Cling on. So, what would you give it?
The Jerzbeck.
Ah, there you go. There you go. I would give it a 3.
You really would.
I think
wedding appropriate wine.
Wedding appropriate. And
she's copying my answer.
You know what? I love my mother. She is French and Italian.
Mm-hmm. And she's awesome.
But she grew up in Duluth.
You can't
around the Scandinavians.
For that. Yes.
So she likes her wine completely and utterly as sweet as possible. You mm-hmm. give her Moscato and she's happy. Mm-hmm. And then she'll put some ice cubes
no,
in
no,
it.
No, no, no.
I know.
No,
yeah. I can't break her up.
Oh, wow.
I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom.
You know what? If
you were the best mom in the world.
You know when you're turning into your mother is when you start doing that.
It'll
never happen.
Because, I mean...
First of all, it waters down the wine.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Well, it takes away the...
You get some scotch rocks for your wine.
It's wine 101.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. and I love red wine. Room temperature. Body temperature. In fact, I will sit there with my hands on the globe, which is not really the way you should do it.
Right.
But almost like brandy.
Yeah.
Until it's mm-hmm. the right temperature.
So how would you rate this one?
A 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you already said that, didn't
you?
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't listening.
And one.
You often don't.
No. No, I'm going to pop this one as a 2.5 myself, because I'm not a huge sweet red fan, but although, you know, this is something I could drink, and I think this would even be cocktail party appropriate.
Yeah, you don't have to have food with this
you
one.
You don't have to have food with this one.
And it's light enough that you're not going to get trashed real fast, which is really a good thing at a wedding.
Well, I highly recommend food if you're going to host a party. I'm just saying.
Chips
and dip do not count as food.
No, they certainly don't. So, in the next part of our podcast, we want
do you
one
have a Hello Kitty thing on your...
Yes,
okay,
I do.
Sorry.
It's a Hello Kitty strawberry on my iPad.
So, in this next part is we ask one of our guests to read the tasting notes of the bottle. So, that's going to be you, Alyssa. But we ask you guys to do it in a funny voice, drawn from our funny voice envelope.
Oh, shit.
So, go ahead and pick a funny voice for us. She's picking a funny voice slowly.
Well, if she picks her own name, she's going to be really offended.
So, here
I don't know what this means. Let's see it. I'll help you. Do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Read it like that. And Alyssa's funny voice is Catwoman. So she's going to read it like Catwoman.
Well, that's a purrs and huskiness.
Yeah.
Perfect for Hello Kitty.
Which one am I reading?
Yep.
This one?
Yep, you're reading that one.
Oh.
These are the tasting notes, so here we go.
When you're looking for I can't read that. Delectably sweetened, fashionably, oh my god, fun wine to share with friends. I'm not going to get this audition, am I? Enjoy reunity. Sweet chilled. It's lush and silky with a smooth finish. For more sweet information, visit us at reunitysweet.com.
Woo! Good job!
I have horrible eyeballs.
No, that's really hard to read.
Yeah, some of these, the print is ridiculously small.
Oh, and plus I'm a year and a half late for my checkup.
That's okay. So we're going to move on to our next wine, except for Brightway Joe is still hanging out on his
And book. You know why?
Why?
Slanta!
Ma'oj!
What does that mean?
I'm thirsty!
Okay, so we all have some water. Good slamming.
So let's put some water in there.
And we just kind of put some water in
and
just
rinse
it
around. Swirl, swirl, swirl.
Mm-hmm. I know you don't. This is one of my favorite sounds. The talking while your face is in the bowl.
Yeah, I'm not.
Has everyone here seen 5-second films?
No.
All right, they're a great YouTube channel. Check them out. But they have a series called People Saying Important Things into Wine Glasses.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Are you cheating on me?
What are you doing?
The President of the United States, my fellow Americans, we have just learned that a meteor the size of Texas...
I've never heard of that, but it sounds delightful.
They only do about 5 of those, but they did 5 years where they posted a new film every weekday.
Holy crap.
Yeah, they just finished their run. They're making a movie now with Patton Oswalt, so they've done well. Mm-hmm.
So now we're moving on to is it Tisdale Merlot?
Tisdale Merlot. It's a California wine.
Yes, California wine.
California Merlot.
Merlot. So now we're going back to the best sound in the world. Are you okay, Alyssa?
Yes.
Okay. Were you pooping?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sitting right next to the heater, and so I'm fitzing here.
Oh, we need to switch spots. Because
Okay, wait.
Oh, that was so disappointing. Well, the next sound won't be disappointing.
Well, that might have been
there
a wet
you go,
one.
Baby.
Pop.
Yeah. Sometimes when they're...
I don't know.
That's how you make them to a time.
That's a beautiful sound.
It is a beautiful sound.
It's a beautiful sound. Interesting. Okay, so...
Does it sound like pee?
No.
Shush!
Well, like, you don't sound like that.
Yeah, mm-mm. There's a lot coming out all at once. So,
that's
you
what
know,
I'm saying.
See a doctor.
Okay, I'm just saying. I'm sorry.
I'm saying if your pee comes out glug, 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 see a doctor.
Well, mine doesn't in the morning.
Well, so now you know what rehearsals were like at Klingon Christmas Carol.
Yeah,
only there were a lot more of us.
With more guttural Russian grunts.
So right now we're seeing this wine, which is a much... This is more like a ruby red.
Yeah, that is much...
Yeah, this is really
much
a pretty, pretty color. And it's clear. You're absolutely right. Because I think it poured you the same, though. Right, Brian Wajo?
As far as I can tell. I mean, it's definitely... I mean, with the other one, it wasn't even close.
Yeah. This is a gorgeous color. So now we're going to...
I'm not seeing a lot of leggies here.
So we're kind of swirling it up now.
How much legs do you want
really
on a wine?
Smell.
A red wine? I don't actually know.
You know, the Merlots that we had previously had some serious luggage.
Yeah, our Merlot episode.
That's a new word now. I get to make up words. Yep. Luggage.
You can make up words, too. Yeah, there's zero leg going on here.
Yeah, so it's not as
viscous.
Thick.
Yeah, so it doesn't have the viscosity, which makes it sound like motor oil.
Yeah, it does. Should
not
we
as much
her?
Chunkiness as you expect.
Well, you haven't hopped
you don't
into
want
it yet.
You don't want chunkiness
yeah, you
in your
mind. Take a boy out of the south.
So a little...
You're not from the south.
Yeah, I am.
Are you? I thought you were
from
the east.
No, well, the south is in the east.
What?
Because the Midwest South is Texas, and that's something else altogether.
No, that's the Southwest.
I'm from Virginia.
Texas
is
south.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were from Pennsylvania.
They consider themselves...
Well, I lived in Pittsburgh for a couple years.
I mean, it's just take 35W south, and you'll get to Texas. It's kind of amazing.
Unfortunately,
I've
lived in Texas.
Look, there's the south, there's Florida, there's Louisiana, and there's Texas, and then there's, like, California, which is technically the south, but
nobody
thinks
of it
that way.
That's West Coast.
So, you know, and each of those has their own flavor. And I'm from not the deep south, clunk, so not like Georgia or anything.
Yeah,
but,
Georgia.
But I still, you know, I grew up a mile and a half from a Civil War battlefield. I count that as the south.
Okay. So let's smell this one.
So back on
get
track,
your nose deep in there.
Stop derailing this conversation by determining what this conversation is about.
Stop getting us away from the wine.
Yeah, I know.
They have wine in
this
the south.
This is fruity.
My dad
this is even fruitier, which really surprises
it
me.
Very much so
it
surprises
doesn't,
me.
And it's another one that's not oaky.
It's very, very light.
Yeah.
It's a much more general fruity, though. I can't, like, the other one was raspberry. This is...
It might be a little cherry.
Maybe.
I swear, like peach?
Probably grape.
Apricot? Apricot and apples are coming to mind, but I don't
I
know
think
why.
Briwa Joe's got grape. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's correct.
Well, with a snort like that, I hope he's right.
And
holy crap!
Let's take the sip and let's get everyone's first impressions of it, because it's always the first impression of a wine that I think is the most exciting.
Poison!
No!
It required both the wines to poison you.
Interesting.
This is one that I might actually sit and drink all on its own.
Wow! This is like the lightest Merlot I think I've ever had.
This well, is...
The legs are going to tell you that right off the bat.
But still, it's Merlot. You just assume it's going to be...
Cabernet.
This is not even Tempranillo-like.
No.
It's completely on the forward side of my tongue. Nothing on the back.
Mm-mm. But more in the center. But forward.
The tip.
And
it's hitting the sinuses a little bit.
Which feels great. What do you think, Briwa Joe?
It's definitely more of a red than I'm used to. It has that astringent quality where afterwards your tongue feels tightened.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But
that tongue to the palate thingy?
Yeah, you kind of like...
Yeah. Yeah, that sort of... It feels drier, but it's not...
Oh, my God.
Sort of
we didn't clink.
Oh,
well.
Oh, wait a second.
God,
oh.
We suck. Oh. We suck. Would you have another one for us, Lana?
Let's see.
What's our toast?
Let's see if I can get this right. It's been a long time. Ewlidge Jotch Jodge!
You witch, Josh! Josh!
What does that one mean?
May your blood scream!
That sounds great! I like Klingons. That's why I was a Vulcan.
You know, I love Klingons. You know, I never liked Klingons up until I auditioned. And
for Klingon Christmas.
For Klingon, I had to get talked into it because I wasn't into Klingons. And once I started the show, it was like, I love Klingons. They live out loud. they're not passive aggressive. Yeah. They'll punch you in the face
and then hug it out.
And then you hug it, and you go later. Have a drink. It's like being Italian,
right. Or Irish.
Yeah, it's closer to Irish. You're right.
Well, yeah, it's the bro jocks of the nerd world. Yeah.
You know, the only downside of Klingons and cosplay and all that is the latex and the spirit gum. That was that was truly abysmal, and we all needed horrible.
I was grateful because my costumes were so heavy and thick, and I'm glad I didn't have a wig. Because if I did, y'all wouldn't want to be around me with a 10-foot pole because
that
tiny
stunk,
little
though.
Korean would have been stinking up the entire place.
That entire show stunk. And again, you know, I was the one person who
I was grateful for a cold. I'm just saying.
Well, and especially when you're doing, you know, stage combat, you're sweating like I was sweating like a big Scandinavian boy.
Yeah.
It's like
you're definitely not a boy. Just so everyone knows, we don't know Lana, she does not look like a boy.
But I was sweating like one. And you know what? You just have to not care because all of those costumes,
everyone's stunk.
You can Febreze them every night. They're going to stink. Too bad.
You can just Febreze mine. So I was grateful I didn't sweat a lot.
Well, I was thankful for any smell that wasn't that rancid whiskey spirit gum smell.
Oh, just the smell of that makes me ill now.
Yep. Yeah. And to be fair, I did have to spirit gum my ears, but it wasn't spirit gumming my nose like you guys had to do. It's like, holy crap.
It's the only reason why
my nose.
The fourth year, they decided not to do the nose pieces, which actually the nose pieces add a lot, and they also cover up the brow ridge separation. I kind of missed the nose pieces that last year.
Yeah, I was lucky to have a piece that had a full nose attached to the forehead because I didn't have to do that separate bridge of the nose thing.
Well, and the interesting thing is they really are essentially the same as the Bajoran nose pieces, if anybody's really a nerd.
Which we all are,
of course.
Yeah.
But it's the only reason why...
Well, not so much Alyssa.
It's really the only reason why
I
don't go as a Klingon to Convergence.
You should go to as a Klingon to
because
Klingon.
I don't want to deal with the latex... And the spirit gum.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It is so gross.
But it's worth it to have a good costume. So I know Alyssa's got a new project coming up with Hardcover Theater.
Yes.
Rarebit Fiend?
Rarebit Fiend. Not really sure what it's going to be quite yet because it's obviously not written if anyone's ever worked with Hardcover Theater.
Hardcover Theater does a lot of creation in progress when they do their shows.
It's based off of the comic strip from the late 1800s to the 20s. And
The Yellow Kid era.
Mm-hmm. His kid-friendly one was Little Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But he who was the guy I'm thinking of? Oh my God, I should know this.
Man, you gotta get out of there. Shit is getting weird.
But basically, the comic strip was about people having these incredible nightmares, right?
Right. It's called Rarebit, and people from Britain would eat this, like, fried cheese. But
Rarebit.
Rarebit.
Yeah. It's a recipe.
Welsh Rarebit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. It's basically glorified grilled cheese, deep fried.
Sounds awesome.
Sounds like a state fair food.
So they would
put it on a stick
at night and get terrible indigestion and then have these really crazy... acid-filled dreams, and then wake up and go, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that.
That
it's
rarebit
terrible
fiend.
Rarebit. Yeah. But they do it again the next night.
And have these terrible nightmares.
Right. And so we all have kind of a stock character.
Mm-hmm.
My stock character is the mother-in-law.
Awesome.
Apparently, I'm bitchy and I like to hit.
What? I could never imagine you that way.
Right.
Never. Ever.
And this is something so completely out of my comfort zone. I've never done theater like this where it's just, it's interactive.
It's a
you
movement
have to
piece.
Get movement and you have to think of a character right off the bat. It's like, just give me like a day and I will come back with something good.
Oh, it's a rush though, that immediacy of creation.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I, the first day I was like, oh my God, I don't think I'm going to be good enough for this. And I don't want to hold people back because everyone in that room is like, ah, and I'm like, you just kind of,
Sounds like summer stock. You've got 2 weeks to put on a show. Your first day, you make decisions and you run
do it.
Yeah. I've done summer stock, but at least you know the show.
Script.
You have a script and stuff like that. But
so
after this, I know that I need to finish my two writing projects that are still in the works because I want to create my own.
Yeah. And I mean,
I love acting and I love doing that, but I need to write roles for myself.
If that makes sense. And for Dawn and I.
And for yes. And Brian Wojo.
No, I'm fine. It's okay.
It was okay. Well, you know, guys have, you know, what, 75% of the roles in all of theater?
Yeah. I really just want the
minority to come through. I don't know how to explain it, but there's no roles for me, for my type. I don't want to audition for Asian-specific roles.
Or children.
Or children. Or
you're 4'10"? 4'11"?
I'm 4'9". I'm Snooki's height.
You're 4'9". Okay. And so that does kind of...
I wouldn't put you and Snooki in the same sentence
ever. Never. No.
Thank you.
But it does kind of...
I think it would be funny to have them in the same
room,
though.
Right. People look at me and
Stage match.
See...
Right?
Well, she looks like a child. But then you put me on stage. Oh, no. But she looks... looks like a child.
What was that, Elizabeth? Can you say that again?
Amen.
What's the matter,
people, I need to find a producer or director that will think outside the box and will see me as Aunt Frank. And just to like that was my dream role when I was a kid. I wanted to play her. I was her.
Yeah. Oh no.
And then
anymore.
The woman that was the girl that was who got to play her was blonde. Not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But Alexandria had a problem with this blonde.
The city of Alexandria?
Yes.
Okay.
Had a problem with her being blonde. That she didn't dye her hair. She didn't look like her. So they're like, well, can you imagine if you were in the role? I'm like, well, I think I would have done a little bit better, but that's
you have dark hair.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you do.
And I took headshots. They made me look like a white girl. Mm-hmm. I can pull that off. What?
Yeah, so being able to play that sort of role without it having to be for theater movie making a point.
Right. Yeah, that's a go, Melissa. That's huge. Well, and I think you're... Oh my God! Most amazing accomplishment recently was getting an Ivy in. Bam! I mean, in 2013.
We stood up and screamed for you.
Yeah, I mean, and you won your Ivy for original work.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, holy cow, we all lost our minds. So,
yeah.
I mean, and for those of you who aren't in the Minnesota theater scene, I mean, the Ivies here for stages could be equivalent to the Oscars.
Tonys.
Thank you. I mean, it's the Tonys of the theater world. So to get
one. And I won that with Catherine Glover and Jerry Weiss for Freshwater Theater Goes Back to High School. Freshwater Theater Company was producing the show.
Good call out.
But, I mean, that was... I mean, we all lost our minds. It's like, go Alyssa, so you're an accomplished writer, and I look forward to what you create.
I wrote it within 2 weeks. I wasn't even going to submit it, and I had a counselor years ago that said, writing is like free therapy. You don't have to show it, but it releases endorphins, and it's something that you don't have to show. And after I wrote it, I was like, it's so rough, but... I have to get this piece out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very personal piece, but it's not... The story didn't happen to me. Mm-hmm. The incident happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed my voice to be heard. And I submitted it, and I emailed Ruth Verkus the next day. I'm like, you do realize that this is a very rough piece. She's like, this is exactly what we're looking for. Something for high school for them to step outside the box. And she's like, you can't tell anyone. I'm like, oh, okay. And so I mean, there was a lot of hoops that we had to go through with the piece. And I am so grateful for her because if it hadn't been for her helping me write that piece, it would have been what it turned out to be.
You know what? I would like to call out the Twin Cities for doing so much original theater.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Freshwater, Nimbus, and a whole slew of other places.
A whole crap ton of other ones.
This is a great place to be a playwright and also to be an actor who gets to be, having been in a couple of shows where it's, hey, it's brand new. We're just going to collaborate. Even as an actor, it's so exciting when, you know, you're just playing along and you throw some stuff out there. And they're like, yes, that line. It's like, cool.
Oh, really?
It's so immediate, and you just feel so much a part of the show. But this is a great place for new theater.
Mm-hmm. Here's to the Twin Cities, man.
Yes.
Yeah, this is...
Hija!
Hija!
So shall we rate this?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So one was the I wouldn't drink it if they were giving it away free at Renfest. Three was wedding wine. Five was oh my god, I'd do the vintner. How do you guys feel about this wine?
Yeah, go well, for it.
I'd give it a 1.5 just because of my feel about Merlots.
What was four?
Four was I would drink this
by myself.
I would drink it by myself and not feel guilty.
A four.
Give it a four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't like it just because Briwa Joe?
Oh, just because I don't like Merlots in general. Okay. So like a really good Merlot probably wouldn't rank above a 2.5 for me.
Okay.
Just because I don't drink Merlot.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, I'm sort of a Merlot fan.
As am I.
It's as really one of my very favorites. But this doesn't taste like Merlot to me.
This doesn't taste like Merlot to me either.
It tastes like, oh, well, it's got
If we're going with a Merlot, then I'm going to rate it more of like a 2.5.
Which is understandable.
But I would, if I didn't see the Merlot sign there,
look,
I'd be
I covered
like,
it up. You can't see it.
See?
It's
there
you
go. Four.
Boom. 2, 4.
It's got the lightness and spiciness of a Tempranillo.
I disagree. As the Tempranillo whore in the room.
You're right. You are a Tempranillo whore.
Tempranillo is my favorite.
But it also has,
I don't even know what that means.
It has that...
It
has the mineral undertaste of the California Reds, which isn't my favorite. They're Cabernets. I really love their Cabernets.
Mm-hmm,
so I'm going to give this, a 2.7.
A 2.7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to agree with that. I mean, although I would drink an entire bottle of this by myself.
See?
But there's very few things I wouldn't drink an entire bottle of.
You know, so we actually have been eating with it. And and we didn't talk about that. I don't think it changes the flavor at all, which is very odd.
No, I don't think it changes the flavor either.
I think this one needs cheese.
Cheese.
Okay.
Yeah,
or
that's
chocolate.
True. Like a nice chocolate.
Everything.
It needs chocolate. You're right with the cheese. It needs an alkaline base to really take this down.
Yeah, something really sharp, maybe very dry
even,
cheese.
Even, sorry
like
about that.
Like a Grappadano.
You know, even meat's not going to do it. You need cheese because it's got that... To counteract the acidity.
Yeah.
And I had that in my fridge. You should tell me. I would have brought it.
No. We appreciate you coming.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So guests do not have
and
to
I've
bring any
And I've shredded
taco
blend cheese in my fridge.
I love cheese. So, being a rating, Briwa Joe, do you want to take from the envelope of funny voices?
Well, as I mentioned, I bought something, and I actually have my own envelope of funny voice.
Get out!
No because way. I know you watched the Oscars. I didn't watch it, but I heard
about
it.
I did not either.
Day. Did you hear about John Travolta's weirdness?
John Travolta's what?
Weirdness.
You know, more than usual.
His
I heard that he couldn't...
ridiculous mispronunciation
of
the name he was introducing.
Yeah. Oh! Idina Menzel.
Oh, yes.
And how did he pronounce it?
I don't know. He was so Botox, I couldn't even tell.
And
he's
very
wrong.
Talking. And it's not a weird, foreignly spelled name or anything. It's pronounced like it's spelled.
And they do have rehearsal.
Yeah, they do have rehearsals.
Yeah, that was his job that night. And a teleprompter.
Yeah, well, he must have been drinking something fierce.
Or
just too much Botox.
I gave him a day
care.
Before I made fun of him in case it was a teleprompter malfunction or something.
Yeah.
But that hasn't been mentioned.
So
the next day, the internet had a John Travolta name generator.
All over Facebook, which is really funny.
I'm Ben Washington, and I'd like to thank my hosts Drew Canedia and Lisa Roganson and my co-guest, Alana Stewart. And give a shout-out to my lovely girlfriend, Elijah Alexander. Tell you about this Tearsdale.
Tearsdale. It starts the second paragraph.
It's a beautiful label,
second
though.
Paragraph. With flavors of blurt cherry and mixed berries. Yeah.
There you go. Towards the microphone.
Towards. Well, then I can't see the label because the light's that.
See?
Yeah. Right?
Oh, no. Well, your house sucks, Lana.
With flavors of black...
Shut up!
Oh, my God! With flavors of black charmering and mixed burrings, our experienced wingmakers have crafted this Merlot to a smarve, full-flavored wern with Mardium booty and an impressive farnish...
Booty!
Yes, I think we can
and
all
that was
agree
my,
with that.
That was my impression of Jack Tizamas.
Yeah, this one's described as a full-flavored wine with a medium body and impressive finish. I just
started that.
There is no finish on that.
So I think we claim cork dorkery on this one.
Cork dorkery.
Cork dorkery. Yeah, I don't buy this
one. I'm afraid to claim cork dorkery. I've already got 2 points on my license.
So I guess what we should tell you next is that every episode has a theme.
Yes.
And we decided not to tell you guys until the end.
Yeah.
Today's theme was...
Poison wine, oh God.
No. The cheapest red in the store, including on sale.
Yes, including on sale.
Yeah.
So, Lana, how much did your bottle of Riuniti Sweet Red cost?
Well, my Riuniti Sweet Red was sale priced at $6, but then it was in the half price bin, so it was $3.
Wow. You know, if we talk.
Yeah. And this was at, I will plug this place again because it's my favorite place to buy wine, and that is Big Top Liquors on University. They're great people. And if we had gone to 350, I could have gotten you a cab. But we had a rule. It was the cheapest damn red in the store. So this is what you got. And it kind of hurt to buy it.
Yeah. Mine is the Tisdale Merlot, which I got for $3.99.
Oh, big spender. A whole buck more than mine.
Yeah, but mine wasn't on sale. So this is what it's always, and actually the Tisdale, I talked to the people at Cub Food Liquor, because that's where I get a lot of my booze, because it's, I can walk to it from my house, and the people there actually said, they're like, hey, you know, this is actually Cub's line of wine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know Cub
had
a line of wine.
And they do. So I thought that was absolutely fascinating. So between the two, do you guys have a favorite, or are you just like, oh dear God, no?
The sweet red, definitely. Partly my preferences, partly.
If I had to lean towards, I'd lean towards the Tisdale.
The Tisdale.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sweet, that one was just flat and kind of tasted like Kool-Aid.
Yep. And in preparation for that, Lana actually did buy a nice bottle of wine. Because yes. I didn't want you guys to come and think this all sucks.
You guys are so...
Well, it's all red.
When it's the cheapest bottle of red, I couldn't have...
Oh, God, it is so much harder to shoot the Merlot.
No, you never shoot wine. No.
I needed to clear the glass.
You can pour it out.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot mine too.
Oh, yeah, so you object to wasting wine by shooting it, but,
actually,
well, yeah.
Actually, a spit bucket.
We've discussed this before about, you know, wine tasting.
I got one of those at cheese fairs, too.
Don't be responsible.
Okay, wait a second. This might have a good sound, so let's listen.
Whoa,
that's the sound I was looking for.
That was like a cartoon kissing noise.
I know, isn't it beautiful?
Well, you should come see the show. We're gonna have, it's based off cartoons, like the old style of.
I was almost in it.
Oh, okay. Really? Yeah. Why aren't you?
Because I didn't, at the point where he needed final commitments, mm-hmm. neither of us knew if Fringe Orphans was gonna be a conflict.
Right. Gotcha.
And I wanted to make sure that if it was, my primary is with my own show.
Right. Okay. But it was something that would be already in the works and done. You just need to fine tune.
Well, at that point, he wasn't sure if there would be a Fringe remount.
Gotcha.
Right.
And if there was, if there was a direct conflict with my own show, or my show had an emergency, I needed to be there. That would be a choice that would suck for both sides.
Yep. So. Producing, especially after producing two shows, Last Fringe. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, anyways, we just kind of want to repeat as Lana pours out the 14 Hands Merlot,
which was really our favorite.
Yes.
At least my favorite when we were doing the Merlot show.
Yeah, it was nummy.
It's super. Oh, God, that sounds.
Oh, I know. So today was the cheapest bottle of red that we could find in the store, whether it was on sale or not. And we had the Riuniti Sweet Red, which Lana got, and I brought the Tisdale Merlot, which were great. And my name is Dawn.
And I'm Lana.
And I'm Brian.
Alyssa.
And Brian, Alyssa, we wish you the best, Brian, like, especially with your Fringe show coming up with Fringe Orphans, and Alyssa, of course, all of your writing, and Rare Bit Fiend, so go kick ass at all of that. So, thank you for listening to another episode of Screw It, where wine improves with age,
and
we
improve
with
wine.
We improve with wine.
What's our next theme?
Oh, crap.
Oh, God, I hope that's not it.
Yeah. Crap wine.
Let's see. You know what?
That.
Let's go with Cabernet.
Awesome. Okay.
Do we have a price point on Cabernet, or should we just say, do we want it to say anything under 20?
Sounds great.
All
Cabernet
right.
is under 20 is going to be our next theme.
Alrighty.
So thank you for listening. Please like us on Facebook.
Oh, please like us.
And then we have a closing theme song. Theme song. Theme song.
Okay, it's not ready yet,
song,
but it will be.
Theme song. Get clean. Thanks.
Drink some wine.